It's time for the Muggies. This episode of Movie Wallers will run down our top 10.
Or 23.
Or 20.
Your Yazdi.
Of 2025, and also give you some of our thoughts on the Oscars.
Nominations.
On the Oscar nominations. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you.
What was this hand gesture?
It's like...
Oh, I see. Like you are bowing to the audience.
I'm bowing to the audience.
I like that.
To allow us into their lives.
It's very nice.
For those of you who are not watching on YouTube, Yazdi, during our opening credits, did some sort of a gesture that I'll try not to cover up.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But yes, indeed, if you love the movies, this should be the show of the year for you.
Yes.
And it's, for me, it's always a highlight where we kind of think back over the past 12 months of movies. And, you know, we also kind of like to have a discussion about the Oscars, so we'll do that towards the end this year. I think we've sometimes done an Oscars show, which we can go on and on and on about, but I think combining the two makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah.
Let's run down our top tens. Now, in classic Movie Wallers top tier production, I don't know how we're going to do this. So are we going to run down our movies?
We're going to go 10 through... We're going to go...
How would you like to do
this? So we're going to go 10 through 1. So Yazdi and I have thought about this. We'll go 10 through 1.
Okay.
We'll go Rashmi, Yazdi, Joe, or Joe, Yazdi, Rashmi, whichever way we want to start.
Okay.
Clockwise.
Yeah. So let's go Joe, Yazdi, Rashmi. Let's do it that way.
That's not clockwise.
No, that's not. That's anti-clockwise. Okay.
I have to go first.
Okay.
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 You go first.
I'll go first.
Or I can go first.
Yeah, you go first.
I'll
Yazdi go first.
Then so Joe, we'll go, then Rashmi.
Yazdi, Rashmi, Joe.
There we go.
Oh.
Now I'm happy.
Okay. And if there is a nomination for it, we can talk about it, I guess. Or we can save nominations till the end. Let's
we'll
just
talk about the Oscars at the end. Excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
We'll probably, that will come up naturally.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right then. So
okay.
let's
so
go.
So Yazdi's going to kick off with number 10 on his list.
Yes. On my own personal list, which I'll be posting very shortly on our Movie Wallers website,
yep.
as well as on my personal blog, I have 15 top movies and I have 10 honorable mentions, which makes for 25
like,
movies.
That's more than one a month.
You are so greedy, Yazdi.
Yeah,
greedy,
that's more than one a month.
Don't you agree?
Ration your slots.
Okay, I'm rationing. Okay, so I'm quickly, in 10 seconds, going to...
Oh, and so also, yes. sorry, one more rule is if it's on your list, then you declare that you might have it
Correct.
Further up or further down your
yes,
list.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So very quickly, my 11 through 15, I'm just going to quickly tell them, Mickey 17, Companion, Sovereign, Relay, Wake Up Dead Man, and Black Bag.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. My number 10 is a movie that I actually did not see in 2025, but it was released in 2025. I saw it in 2026. It's a movie called Resurrection. It's a Chinese movie made by the director Bi Gan or Bai Gan. That movie won't leave me alone. It's just a treat for the eyes. It's a movie about movies and it's dreamlike and it has three separate stories and they all come together and it's just, it, that movie just filled me up.
Huh.
It's a little bit like that French movie that we liked, Holy Motors. It's
oh,
a little bit Holy Motors-ish,
okay.
but it's
Uh-oh.
So, but it's so oh. beautiful. Each of the three stories are self-contained and it's gorgeous. And by the way, the last story is all shot in a single take. So
wow.
I think if you are a casual watcher of movies, maybe this is not for you, but if you are a lover of movies, then you owe yourself watching Resurrection. I presume it's going to show up for streaming soon, but this, if ever a movie demanded to be seen on the big screen, it's this one.
And where did you see it yesterday?
I saw it at the Digital Gym.
Cinema.
At the cinema. And I have to give credit to Beth Accomando.
Yep.
I had, like you, Rashmi, I had the cough, which wouldn't go. And I had no desire to go to the movie. And she said, if you like movies, you have to see this.
Oh.
And I'm so glad I went. So it's a movie called Resurrection, that's my number 10.
Nice. Okay. And again, I think... Yes, so you mentioned it in a previous podcast of ours. you and I have definitely been championing foreign movies, and I'm so happy, and I think we said this during that podcast, I'm so happy that there have been so many good foreign movies.
Yes.
Okay, so my number 10 is the documentary The Perfect Neighbor. It is available to watch on Netflix currently.
And it's also nominated for Best Documentary
at the Oscars. This is a chilling, educational, devastating documentary about the state of small towns in some way.
And it's very prescient. I think it was released earlier in the year, and it says a lot about how we are right now.
Correct.
I think it was ahead of its time.
Correct.
Yeah.
So my number 10 is The Perfect Neighbor. Joe.
Everybody should watch it. If you care about your country, watch The Perfect Neighbor.
Yes. Agree.
All right. I'm quickly reordering my list because I used Letterboxd to create it, and I think it didn't quite get my movies in order. But as I edit this list...
I can talk about other things.
No, I'm buying enough time for myself by rambling.
okay.
As I edit this list, this is quite a good year for me.
Very good.
I'm looking at my top 10 here, and I'm very satisfied with how this has come out. So I guess it's a bit of a cheat. I'm absolutely heartbroken that my number 11 isn't in my top 10.
So say it.
Bring Her Back. I really like that little...
Great, that little Australian movie, yes.
I didn't realise it was quite as high up my list, when I looked over my Letterboxd ratings, it was that right there. So
by the Filippo brothers.
It was pipped out, just squeezed out a little ickle bit by the movie F1, which was the big blockbuster maverick of this year.
Yeah.
It was the Brad Pitt vehicle, Apple... produced the movie to at great expense. Wonderful movie about a sport that I love. And when I say a wonderful movie, it is a sports drama.
Yeah.
So what I will say is that for those of you, and you know who you are, who love the sport, this is a little polarizing because...
It's on the best picture list for the Oscars.
But they have to make some concessions here about the sport in order to get a narrative that's accessible to non-fans. Right, like we have to remember that F1 is popular throughout most of the world, not so much in the US. And so this movie was really designed as a way of trying to bring people into the sport. And I think they did a wonderful job. Again, is it going to win any prizes for screenwriting? No. But as a piece of filmmaking, it was really compelling. They invented a lot of new technology to bring us into the cars. We saw it on the big screen, and I think that is really the only place I would want to watch this movie, because the big screen, IMAX, loud, really added a huge dimension to how it felt. You know, there was a lot of first-person stuff in F1 cars, like the racing, you were right there in it. So I enjoyed the heck out of F1.
Yeah,
I
actually think it's the Oscars,
I think this movie is going to get a lot of prizes in technical categories like best sound, best editing, and so forth. And also on behalf of all the people who are not into racing, I mean, I'm that person, and I had a great time watching it. I think you don't have to be a car racing head, whatever you call it, car racing fiend. It just works very well as a story about a legend trying to recapture his glory.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yazdi, number 9.
My number 9 is a movie which I'm sure will be on both of your lists. I'm personally surprised it's so low, but so be it. It's the movie Sentimental Value, which I really liked. It's the movie which has Stellan Skarsgård playing an older film director who's trying to reconnect with his grown daughters who he realizes he did not pay enough attention to while he was growing up. And the wonderful Renata Reinsfeld in it, the Inga Dotsberger who plays his other sister.
Yeah.
She's, both of them are nominated.
And Elle Fanning.
And Elle Fanning is a, you know, she plays an American actress vying for a role in the movie. It's nominally a movie about fathers and daughters, but it's about so much more. It's about making art, and it's about the sacrifices you make, and it's about siblings, and it's about mental health, I think. It's about how a brick and mortar place is a part of your heart when you grow. It's about so many things, and it doesn't once creak under the pressure of all the themes it's trying to look at. So I love that film.
It is my number 5, Yazdi.
Okay.
So much higher up on my list. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely love this movie. It was about fathers and daughters, everything you said, and all five are nominated. All four lead and supporting are nominated, as well as the movie, as well as the screenplay.
And I think it broke the record. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time that a foreign film landed up getting four acting nominations from the same film,
right?
Which is pretty remarkable. It's a little movie,
but great movie.
You guys are not going to believe where it is on my list.
No, it's number not
two.
On my list.
Number two.
It is.
It is number two on
wow.
my list. Because everything that you've said about this movie, what the reason it's so high, because I was interested, it was like Letterboxd clearly sorted my five-star movies by some other criteria, but I left it there. And the reason I did that is because I think about this movie a lot.
Yeah.
Since having seen it.
Yeah.
And I must see it again, if nothing else, because, you know, the performances and the sense of place and story, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the house is a character
yeah.
and the way that they... So this movie has so many clever little things in it that it's just won my admiration. And as I really look back over last year, it's spectacularly good. I loved yeah. it.
And clearly the Academy's fallen in love with it because best film, best foreign film, all these acting nominations,
yep.
best screenplay,
yep.
best, you know, it's gotten, which is for a little film out of, yep. you know, Sweden.
Which came at the last at minute, the too.
Last
it
minute,
did come very, very,
it did,
very...
It did very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Norway, not Sweden.
Sorry, Norway, yes, thank you.
Okay, my number nine is Zootopia 2.
Oh, really?
I loved Zootopia 2.
You had a lot of fun watching that.
I love the world of Zootopia. And I love the characters, and I love the ethos, and I love the friendship, and how it all interplays, and how it's about this whole thing of you never know who you need until you need them, and sometimes you don't even need them, but they save your life.
You don't know you need them, yeah.
Yeah, these are people who come, and they save your life. And I just love that aspect. Zootopia is a lovely world. So Zootopia 2. I didn't even make it on your 15.
No, I'm going to do a woot woot for every time somebody picks a movie that is not on anybody else's list. I love it.
Yes.
It's great.
Okay. Joe, not even on yours.
I didn't see it. You were watching it while I was working.
Yes.
And I couldn't half watch it because
so
it deserves
yeah.
a real watch. I
yeah.
loved the original Zootopia.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't going to give this movie
yeah.
The disrespect of
sure.
half watching it.
Yeah.
I want to watch it fully, so I'm sad I didn't get to see it.
Okay, Joe, you're number nine.
Much higher on your list, I'm sure. Yazdi, you went there, you saw it, and you got the T-shirt.
Yes!
Bugonia. So Bugonia is number nine on my list. It's my second favorite Yorgos Lanthimos movie. After Poor Things.
Oh, I thought you would say after The Favourite.
No, goodness. I like The Favourite, but okay. Poor Things was the one that really...
Changed it, changed him for you.
It was like, this director seems to work well with material that is not his own. This is another movie that he didn't write. He has directed mm-hmm. someone else's screenplay.
And he's always better for it.
Yeah.
And it's... We've talked about it extensively. There's a podcast on it, go listen to that if you want to have our in-depth review, but I feel like we'll talk about the Oscars, but Jesse Plemons missed out, I think, on a well-deserved Oscar nomination, so one of my most memorable performances
yeah.
of the year so far, of the year period. Emma Stone was exceptional, as she always is, in Lanthimos' hands.
Yeah.
And again, the movie has, it's not perfect, but it has so many things to say about so many things that are relevant, and conspiracy theories and craziness, and then it has that lovely little Lanthimos twist of naughtiness and playfulness, so I really had fun.
It is my number one movie.
Oh,
is it really?
It's my favorite
I'm
movie of the year. No, that's fine.
That from you.
It is, oh, I mean, I am a Lanthimos fan, and actually Poor Things was the one that broke it for me.
Oh, interesting.
Bugonia is so much more than it says on the box, and it doesn't say much on the box.
The less you read about the box, the better.
Correct. It's so naughty, and it's so of our time. And it's just got so much to say without saying it in your face. And I think you're right, Jesse Plemons was robbed. And Emma Stone won't get the Oscar, but it's such a brave, interesting performance compared to some of the others.
It is my number three film.
Okay.
I think good Lanthimos is hard to beat.
Because totally.
And I think for me, I loved Poor Things, but it seemed like he was leaning too much into Lanthimos, and then Kinds of Kindness was just too much.
Exactly.
It was too much. And I'm glad he's returned to form, making a very small film, which is weird and which is unpredictable and which is funny and which is, you know, making fun at everyone. And it's bringing in new actors we didn't know. And it's not afraid of being cruel. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's an amazing film. I really think Begonia has gotten a bad rep.
Same.
I think it's the same thing, right? Oh, another Lanthimos movie. Oh, another, you know, Emma Stone performance. But if she didn't have two Oscars already for Best Actress this early, she's only in her 30s, I think we'd all be shouting from the rooftops about how great Emma Stone is in this movie. Yeah.
Exceptional stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Yazdi. Number eight.
So my number eight is a movie that I know you don't care for too much, Rashmi, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it's the Brazilian submission this year for Best International Film. It's the movie The Secret Agent, which when I saw it in the theater, I forgot that I was in 2025. I forgot that I was watching a movie. I was just transported into 1970s Brazil with the people and the music. And it's the journey of one person who is under watch by the government because, you know, he's a scientist and they want to kind of suppress him. And so the government is after him. But there's so many surrounding characters who are fully developed. And it's also playful. And then the movie makes a full leap in a generation towards the end. It's very ambitious. And I think it's because it's so ambitious that it feels clunky and disjointed. And I completely understand it. I was speaking with somebody else this morning and they were like, what is the story? I didn't even get it. Like, it was all over the place. So I fully understand.
Yeah.
But for me, it was an immersion. It really worked. So it's my number eight.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Yes. Yeah. I think you and I had the conversation because I asked you, because when I realized you liked it so much, I was like, I didn't understand the movie. And so I get why you like it. It didn't work on that level for me because I think I had been so impressed by the movie, Joe, that you loved last year, the other Brazilian. The one that won.
I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here, yeah. And it didn't quite hold a candle up to that one. But yeah, I can see why you liked it.
Yeah.
My number eight.
The lead from that movie has also been nominated for Best Male Actor, which is unusual. But what's his name?
Wagner Moura
is nominated. And Wagner Moura is a wonderful actor. He's been on all kinds of stuff. He was in Narcos on Netflix. I'm glad that at least he gets international recognition.
Yeah.
Okay. What's
my number eight? I don't know if this is on your list, Yazdi. The Voice of Hindra Jar. Oh,
yes.
Which is one of the best. It's on the finally.
It's on
after
Hulu,
all
right?
These awards, it got recognition finally from the Oscars. So I'm so happy to see that.
The movie.
Golden Globes and others kind of missed it.
They kind of missed it.
Okay.
And this is a really interesting movie. I think I spoke about it when I watched it. It's a real version. So it's an acted version of a real phone call event that happened in Palestine. When the Red Crescent Society, who are the people who try and save people who are getting injured, have a call. It's got like the real voices of the call acted by actors.
So the voice you hear
is the actual voice of the child.
Recordings of this child calling for help, and they've integrated into the actual movie, which is fiction. Yeah.
And the story itself is absolutely breathtaking. So,
When I started watching it, it felt a little too gimmicky to me initially. But then once it gets through the halfway point, It's just marvelous. It's just and the acting is superb. It's
superb.
Just, again, I was like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable film.
And I think it is now playing on Yazdi. Where is it playing? Do you know?
It's at the Digital Gym in
San Diego.
At San Diego, but I think it's also available on Apple TV.
Okay. So The Voice of Hindra Jab is my number 8, and it is also nominated for Best International Feature.
Correct.
From Tunisia.
From Tunisia.
Okay, Joe, what is your number 8?
So 8th ranked in my list of movies that I ranked as I went through the year is, and it surprised me that this is coming as high as it did, but I remember really responding well to it at the time, which is the Paul Thomas Anderson One Battle After Another. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, as I've kind of grown, as time has elapsed since I've seen it, I find myself with some question marks around you know, my response to it initially. But at the time, it was an exceptional piece of film. You know, it's Paul Thomas Anderson, as we've said, doing kind of a genre kind of thriller action movie.
Quentin Tarantino.
Something that we might see from, you know, Tarantino or the Coens, you know, or Guy Ritchie, right? Like one of those gangster type mobland. But again, has some very, very memorable moments. We talked at length in the podcast about the final sequence, which is just visually like
marvelous, yeah.
You know, very innovative in terms of, and that stuck with me. Performance has been great throughout. You know, it's recognized highly. I think it's on a best director and it's on the best.
It is. It's on the best picture.
Best director, best actor, best supporting actor.
So yep. I know that I'm not responding, you know, again, the reason I preface that with I'm not sure I love this one as much as an 8th rank would suggest is because, you know, there's a movie that it has displaced that I think I would probably like more, which would bring it back. But nonetheless, One Battle After Another.
Yep.
I know we're going to be talking about the nominations. This is not my best film of the year, but I respect it tremendously, and it's the movie to beat. Everybody thinks this is the movie which is going to walk away with the big prizes. For me, the first half hour of the movie was really rough. It was really disjointed before it jumps into the current time. So that kind of always prevents me from fully embracing it. But yeah, the second half of the movie is excellent. And I think there's also a sense, sorry, I'll stop talking, but there's also a sense that Paul Thomas Anderson's time has come, so I think, you know, there's that as well.
Yeah, it was my number 13.
Okay.
Yeah, my number 17.
Oh, okay. Yazdi.
So my next move, my number 7 is a movie I'm sure is on nobody's list. Maybe it is, but it's the movie which is right now streaming on Netflix, and it is A House of Dynamite. I know this, and I'm just going to come out and say it. I know this movie pissed off a lot of people with the way it ends, and which is fine. I fully understand it. But for me, the destination while I was watching the movie was far less important than the journey itself. The journey was one of so much suspense and so much, maybe it's not true. Maybe a lot of it is imagined. Maybe it has a very strong political tilt to it. But whatever it might be, for me, it was truly anxiety-ridden because I can see this happening tomorrow in the United States. Mm. Maybe I'm more anxious right now, and so it resonated for me. But I really like this movie, House of Dynamite.
Didn't make my list.
Didn't make my list either, but I enjoyed
I think of the three of us, I watched it most recently. I didn't get to see the screening with you guys. I did see it on the plane on the way back from India. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I had real trouble with the movie structure. But that doesn't take away with what a remarkable accomplishment directorially it is. Rebecca Ferguson, as I haven't seen her before.
So good. When is her ship coming in?
Yeah.
So nuanced and different. You know, I don't see her as the mother. She always plays these badass secret agent types in Mission Impossible, and so this is a wonderful. But I can see why you liked it so much. So yes, I mean, I think for me, the structure really frustrated me,
and it did most people.
Yeah. And like there were two occasions in the movie where I was like, what? And then the third one was like, oh, so I'll, you know exactly what I mean.
Yeah. I actually like the structure. I love the structure. I hated the ending.
The ending, yeah.
Because I felt like it was such a cop out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of the structure, again, if anybody's going to watch it,
yeah.
It kind of gets to a certain point and then circles back in and then looks at it from the perspective of another set of characters, comes back to that point,
yeah,
and goes back again. So I think it kind of yanks you in and out. So I think, yeah, it kind of upsets some people. Anyway, yes. What is your number seven?
My number seven, I don't know if this is on your list, Yazdi. It's another foreign movie that didn't get much press, but it got 100% on the Tomatometer. It is the movie called All That's Left of You. Did you watch that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, number
seven for me.
Well,
I watched it in the theater.
Yeah. It's, again, it's a devastating movie.
I sobbed for the last 15 minutes. I was in the theater.
Me too.
I was sobbing, like huge buckets of tears coming down my eyes.
Yeah, so it is basically, the description is, in the occupied West Bank in the 1980s, a Palestinian teenager is swept into a protest that changes the course of his family's life. And it spans decades.
Three generations.
It is a beautiful movie. It's got, like, history and a sense of place and... It reminded me a little bit of The Kite Runner. I don't know why, but it had that sense of, not in terms of the bad stuff that happens in The Kite Runner, but that sense of place. I knew exactly where I was, you know, what time I was in. This is an amazing movie, and I'm so sad it didn't get any recognition.
Well, I think, you know, it helps if you are being distributed by a Neon or an A24, which is going to push for it. This movie did not get that push.
Yeah.
I actually think it might be the best foreign film of the year.
I think so too.
And you know, for those who might be like, oh, I don't want to watch a movie about Palestine versus Israel.
It
doesn't matter.
It's not about
that. It doesn't
matter.
It's not about that at all. It's just about the purposelessness of war. But more so, all war movies are about that. But it's more so about how, whether we like it or not, we carry the burdens and the guilt of our forefathers.
Yeah.
And that was brought fought so beautifully, because the movie starts with a voiceover narration which says that to understand what's happening, you need to start with my grandfather. And by the way, the actress who plays the mother is also the director of the movie.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
She directed that movie. And it's just in terms of difficulty, spanning like 30 different years. It's all shot.
Sherrian Debbis.
Yeah, Sherrian Debbis. It's a remarkable achievement. People should seek this out.
Yeah. Yeah, so again...
All That's Left of You.
All That's Left of You.
Thank you for putting it,
yes. Woot, woot. Is that a woot?
Woot, 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 woot.
Okay, yay. Okay, woot, woot.
Yes.
Okay, Joe, number seven.
Number seven. So from seven on, I'm really kind of proud and happy with the list that I have here, because I really do think it represents what has been an exceptional year in cinema.
And yes.
This movie got
Nola
completely washed out from... just whether it's marketing, distribution. Rashmi, we were talking about this movie earlier.
Yeah.
And that movie is Sovereign.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
This is my number 13.
Yeah. This movie stars Nick Offerman, Jacob Tremblay.
So good.
And Dennis Quaid. And it's about a topic that I had no idea over, which is there are these people who call themselves sovereign citizens, but they're basically, you know...
based on a... Or inspired by a true story.
It's completely inspired. In fact, it's recreation of a true story, because so sovereign citizens are people who basically believe that laws are illusions and freedom is something that the government is trying to take away from us constantly. This guy becomes consumed with this ideology, and it sets them up on this kind of collision course with law enforcement. And but forget that kind of part of it. The movie is very much like one of those, it feels very much kind of like a Western. You have the baddies, our heroes being chased by law enforcement, you know, hunted down. But the movie, it left such a mark on me in terms of, you know, who these people are, the insight into their world, the way that some of these extreme views get propagated through social media and other type instruments, and the performances and the drama and the way it all ends. I've since researched this whole thing. It made me very interested in this topic.
It's real.
Not only is it real, but the movie recreates many moments as the movie's climax is, you know, was filmed heavily with people on mobile phones and security cameras, and so they went to extraordinary lengths to recreate this. And I'm sad that this movie kind of came and went. It was probably in the theatre for 10 minutes. No one got the chance to see it because I just think it was exceptional. So I feel this is one of those ones where I'm really happy for what we do at Movie Wallace, where we get the chance to go to film festivals and see these little gems. And, you know, they have an outsized impression on us, perhaps, because, you know, we get to see the cast, crew.
And you get to hear a little bit about
the movie
process itself. Yeah.
How it was made. So, sovereign.
Good choice.
Sovereign.
In a just world, Nick Offerman would be up for best actor.
Yes, agree.
We know Nick Offerman only as the smirking kind of, you know, dry comedian from Parks and Rec and other places. Watch him here. I mean, he carries the whole movie on his shoulders and he's not remotely funny. In fact, he's the opposite of funny. And everybody should watch this movie. I think it should be required viewing.
Yeah,
Sovereign.
It's exceptional.
S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N. By the way,
go ahead.
About all that's left of you, if you're in San Diego, I saw it in a theater which was completely sold out. And every show at the Digital Gem of All That's Left of You is being sold out. And they've been extending it by a week
for like a month. Good movie.
So if you're in San Diego, head out to the Digital Gem and see All That's Left of You.
Thank you.
You will be better for it.
You will be.
Book your tickets ahead of time because it is selling out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good plug.
Yes.
Okay, number six, Yazdi. We're almost at the halfway point.
My number six is a movie that was such a lovely ride for me. It made me anxious. It made me laugh. I didn't necessarily empathize with it, but I just love the journey of it. And that
is... Our home video.
What?
Our home video.
Yes. Of us, you know, having a pajama
anxious,
party.
Anxious, laughing, and super laughing. Fun.
No, yeah. I'm talking about the movie Marty Supreme.
Okay.
Which, the more I think about it, the more I'm annoyed by the lead character and what he does. But I cannot deny that the movie is running on all cylinders. The whole thing is like a jet propulsion engine. It's just at breakneck speed, just moving fast ahead. I should have no interest in a ping pong player from the 50s.
Yeah.
But it's funny and breaking the rules and I love this fool. It's so much fun.
It's number 14 on my list, Yazdi, okay. Which seems quite low. And much as I think that Chalamet is very deserving of his Oscar nomination, the film was like being shouted at for two hours.
It is. That's exactly
and
what it is.
I literally felt like I'd been like moved around on one of those roller coaster rides that like jiggles you about, you know, and throws you everywhere. I think it's a really good movie. It just didn't rise to the top as a movie.
But that
performance is outstanding, which is why he's winning. You know, he's won Critics' Choice and the Golden Globes. And
he probably will win the Best Actor as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. So yeah, for me, it was a number 14. But did it? Oh, you haven't seen it yet, right, Joe?
No, this is one of the movies that I'm very sad to have
Josh have to.
Because I think it sounds like... I might respond well to this. You know, I liked his brother's movie, The Smashing Machine.
Yeah.
You did.
You will really like it because you loved Good Time and you loved
Uncut Gems.
It's very in that vein. Yeah,
it's very, very good. Okay, my number six, again, the foreign movies is what's dominated my list. Yet another foreign movie. It is the movie No Other Choice, which came from...
Korea,
and it is about a man who's abruptly laid off by the paper company that he's worked tirelessly for many years, and he grows increasingly desperate in his hunt.
Like really desperate.
And it's a caper, and it's like batshit, and it's crazy, but it's so good.
What's it called again?
It's called No Other Choice.
Park Won-chuk, who did... Gosh, he did so many amazing films.
This is a superior filmmaker by any standard. And this movie just plays that... Oh, it plays like the company man, you know, the kind of Asian company man, that loyalty that you have to your workplace, what it feels like, what your worth is, how you identify when you are working or not working. And it's just a caper. In the middle, it is this crazy caper. It's so good.
I love the movie. I just think his previous movies were a little bit better. And I also think it loses a little bit. It gets a little lost in the second half. That's the only reason why it's not at the top.
Yeah.
But, you know, this director made Old Boy. He made The Handmaiden, which we all loved. He made Decision to Live a couple years ago, which was wonderful. So, he's top of his form.
Okay.
Joe.
Joe, number six.
I've gone back to the beginning of 2025 for this one. So one, remember we always talk about movies at the beginning of the year tend not to be the best. The exception being the one of the movies we just saw.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, we just saw a great movie at the beginning of 2026.
Send help. Yes, that's the name of the movie.
Thank you. But early last year, back in February, we saw a movie called Black Bag.
Yes!
By Steven Soderbergh.
It's my number 15.
It's my number 17.
And a movie that has like stayed near and dear to me the whole year through. It is ostensibly a star vehicle. It feels very much like it's in the Oceans type world with, you know, a caper, a very dialogue heavy.
Sleight of hand.
And
great production.
Super production, but there's a word I'm looking for. It's
stylish.
Yeah, it's a heist movie in so many ways, even though it's ostensibly set up as a spy movie. It's got that typical kind of Soderbergh cleverness to it. Kept me on my toes.
Yep.
And again, as I've thought about this over the year, it just won't go away. So, star vehicle, Cate Blanchett, Fassbender,
Naomi Aki,
Marissa Abella is in here. Yep, Naomi Harris. So many people here pop up and do really wonderful work. But this is Soderbergh at his best, doing what no one else does quite as well as him. So I really love Black Bag.
Okay,
anybody can watch it for $4 on YouTube or Apple TV or Amazon Prime. It's available for streaming.
Good ad, Yazdi.
Yes.
Okay, we're into the top five. So, Yazdi, top five, number five.
So this is the only time I'm going to cheat, but I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to say, every year when we come up with these lists, we come up with movies that are cerebral and which are like running at full steam and which are ambitious and which kind of make you cry and which shake you and all that. But maybe it's where I am right now in my own personal being, or maybe it's the world around us, but I really want a movie that is warm, and I want a movie that is honest, and I want a movie that is quiet and that means well, and it's going to be like a big hug. And there were three movies I watched this year which were that, and I'm going to put them all at number five. And the first one is Roofman. I don't know if you guys saw
it. I didn't get to see that
with
one.
With Channing Tatum and and what's her name?
I'm going to put three at number five.
No, but these are all hugs. The second one is A Nice Indian Boy, which we all saw.
Yeah,
which is
that
so
was
good.
Cute. It was
and
cute.
And then the third one is streaming right now on Apple. Everybody should watch it. It's the cutest film. It's called The Ballad of Wallace Island.
Where is it on, Yazdi?
It's on Apple.
Okay.
Not Apple, sorry. It's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
All of these
Terry.
Yes,
our friend.
Yeah.
The Ballad.
The Ballad of Wallace Island, Roofman, and A Nice Indian Boy. If you just want to feel good about the way of the world with kind, lovely people, you know, just being kind.
Besides
we need
us.
More kindness. Yes, we need more kindness. These three movies are my kindness pick.
Okay. So number five, my number five was already done, which is Sentimental Value. Joe, your number five is?
This is where I start pissing you guys off. So,
do you have a three for
But Chris Nolan hasn't put anything out yet.
My number five, believe it or not, is The Materialist.
Okay. What? Nobody has it on there.
There's a reason for that, yes.
This is, again, a movie that I think upset a lot of people who expected...
Carey Mulligan, sorry.
Yeah, something very different from director Celine Song, who directed your favorite movie from a couple of years
ago.
Past Lives. Yeah. Celine Song takes a very different direction here. It still feels like a Celine Song movie, but it lacks the kind of wistful sparseness and becomes kind of a dialogue heavy exploration of gender dynamics. The movie has some problems. I'm not going to deny that the movie has some problems, but I really liked the subversive nature, and this is something that appeals to me, of the Dakota Johnson character, of the interplay between her and Chris Evans and Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite ensemble casts of the year, and the movie just really clicked with me in terms of the discussion it was having about modern society. So I really enjoyed this movie. And I know that this is kind of a thing that probably is like nails on a chalkboard to you, Rashmi, because you didn't love it as much. But it stuck with me. And Dakota Johnson was exceptional again.
Yeah.
I find her hard to take seriously.
Yeah.
This is a really, really good performance.
Yeah. See, this is what happens when you don't watch as many movies as Yazdi and I got to this year. And I know that that's, you know, a consequence of work.
I don't know that this is a...
But I think if you had watched any of the other ones on our lists, you would have, that would have knocked it off. But anyway, that is the joy of movie that we talk about, right?
I'm with you. I'm a defender of the materialist, but I think this movie really polarizes people.
Yeah,
it really does.
One of my friends on the East Coast is like livid about this movie. She's angry. She's
exactly.
But I'm definitely pro it. So I don't think you'll have a middle ground. It's playing with the romantic genre element. And if you don't see that, it'll just seem like a badly made romantic comedy, it's not.
Yes.
And I think that's the risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Number four.
My number four, we were talking about how this year, like you've been saying, it's the international films which have really been pushing the knob up. And it's probably among so many amazing international films, and we haven't even talked about Left-Handed Girl, but anyway, the movie which topped everything else for me was the movie from France, but which is set in Iran, which is It Was Just an Accident.
It's my number two.
Yeah, that movie is, the more you think about it, the more you realize what a high wire act the whole thing is. And it was made while this director, Jafar Panahi, was under house arrest, and all of his movies have been made under house arrest, and it's got a sprawling cast. It's very topical, you know, unfortunately it's very topical to what's happening right
so
now
good.
In the world. Brilliantly acted. Oh, everybody should watch it.
So good. So good. I mean, I don't know how much, I mean, it's on the list
It's on the list for best international film and best original screenplay
as
well.
Yes, and it's well-deserving, and I think it's missing off the best picture list. It is my number two
film. It was expected to be on the best picture list, and F1, there's a belief that F1 kicked it out.
Yeah.
But, which I have nothing against that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It was, by all means, expected to get a best picture.
And Yazdi, you just mentioned it. My number four is Left-Handed Girls. So this is the movie from Taiwan, and it's about a single mother and her two daughters coming back to Taipei after several years of living in the countryside, and they open a buzzing nightstand at the night market, and it's about relationships and the appearance of being, and then it's about a whole lot more.
About family, judgment, all of this.
Beautifully acted, it's so well paced,
and
expectations, it's about, you know, your place in the family, and it's so good. I struggled with my top five, to be honest. I would renumber this top five.
And by the way, Left-Handed Girl, you can watch it right now on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. Joe, okay, what was your number four?
Remember I said I was going to start pissing you guys off? Here we go.
Okay.
My number four movie of the year is Megan 2.0.
Oh. Like Megan 2.0.
Well, I'll do a whoop. It's on nobody's like oh my God.
I like Megan 2.0.
It is
super fun.
It is one of the most fun movies. It's a very Joe movie, right? It's like, it's all about AI and it's all about tech. It's got Alison Williams in it, who
she's great.
I would watch Alison Williams washing up. Like, she's just such an amazing screen presence. And like Megan 2.0 is a very different movie to Megan 1.0, which is
what turned me off
a lot of people.
Right.
Megan 1 was this, social satire. Megan 2 is just like, F that.
Yeah.
Let's go have some fun with the ridiculousness of a walking doll that can take over.
Does groovy dancing.
And so from start to finish, this movie was a roller coaster ride that went from bizarre to preposterous to like out there. And it was never shy about what it was trying to do. And so I just had so much fun. And we got to, the reason I know I like this as much as I do is our screening failed halfway through the first time round. And everyone groaned because, I'm going to have to sit through that again.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait.
Yeah,
I was like, yay, I get to see that whole thing. So I had so much fun with this movie and its bizarreness and its sense of humor. And there is a sense of humor that kind of like you, what you were saying about materialists, I think if you don't pick up on the movie's wit, and it's a very sarcastic kind of dry wit, like a, there's a silliness to it, but and, so, and it's not trying to say anything important, but the silliness is what makes this movie, because it understands that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you didn't pick up on it, like materialists, I think it would just piss you off. You think, this is, oh my God, this is like not even a B movie. It's a C, D, or E movie. Because,
especially if you're going in with the expectations from Megan.
If you understand that this movie was just set out to have a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, the scene in the night, in not nightclub, when there's all the robots dancing, it's worth
it. It's great. It's so super fun. I agree. Super fun.
Megan 2.0.
Yeah, super fun. Okay, number three, Yazdi. Top three. Here
my
we
number
go.
Three, we've already discussed it, okay. Is Begonia.
Okay.
Which was your number one.
My number one, right. Yes. Okay. My number three, which is probably going to be a bit higher on your list because I haven't heard you say it yet, Sinners. So we may as well have the conversation now. So, I struggled with my top five. I could reorder this depending on the day of the week, but Sinners for me, number three.
Number one.
It's my number one as well.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Look, I struggled.
It's the only movie I saw at least two times in the theater. We watched the screening. I went back and watched it a second time, and it's back in the theaters right now because it's gotten the most number of Oscar nominations of any movie ever.
Ever.
So I'm eager to go see it. It's
You would see it again, Yazdi?
For a third time, yeah. It's inventive. It's
13 total nominations.
No, it's more than that. Is it?
Total nominations,
okay.
13.
Okay. It's inventive. It's original. It's brilliantly written. It's ambitious.
Well acted.
It's transcendental. There's a piece in the middle. And don't watch this on, I think it's streaming on either HBO or somewhere. It's streaming. It's been streaming for a while. If you watch it on a small screen, it's not going to work. There's a piece in the middle of at a juke joint
where this
the montage that for me was transcendental. When I saw it, I literally lifted off my seat.
And it's got one of the best songs ever.
Oh, I love
which
that
we
song.
Listen to in the car all the time.
Yeah.
I know, Joe. You actually listen to the whole album, right?
Yeah.
You are a
yeah. I mean, everything Yazdi says, and the reason it's the top of my list is because when I was in the movie, and this is a statement I used a couple of times later in the year, but this is the one that really kind of resonated with me in the fact, I kept thinking, oh, that's right. This is why I love movies.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is not just why I love movies, but this is why I love cinema. This is why I like being in the theater.
Mm. Yeah.
This is why I like watching things with an audience. This experience cannot be recreated outside of that environment, no matter what we do. I keep talking about, we have a wonderful home set up. We've got surround sound, big screen TV, but you cannot replicate the way that a movie that works for you in a theater feels. And Sinners made me fall in love with cinema again in a way that, like Chris Nolan does this to me, right? Like I get these giddy goosebump moments. I was not expecting anything at all from Sinners.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it.
And it came so early in the year.
And I'm really upset for people who understand that this movie is something other than how it begins. Because that whole twist to me was like, it was so clever and so unexpected and so marvelous and so, Sinners is just, it's...
Can I just say,
it's exceptional.
It's exceptional. And I think for me, it was a very easy number one because nothing came close to it. But there are a lot of people who rightly so say, I don't care how celebrated it is. I don't want to watch a movie about vampires. I don't want to watch a horror movie. Can I please convince those people? This is not a vampire movie. This is not a horror movie.
No.
It is a movie which sees vampires as a way of any majority which is sucking the life of a minority group. It's the whole thing is an allegory for those in power who are sucking out from those who are without power. That's how I see it. So, and the vampires don't even come to the halfway point in the movie. So I think as just a marvel of filmmaking in 2026, I think you owe it to yourself to watch it. It's in theaters right now. If ever a movie is begging to be watched in the theaters, it's Sinners. Do yourself a favor and watch it. Sorry.
No, I was just going to respond and say, I didn't receive it anywhere near as cerebrally as that. I took it at face value and it still punched me in the
face. Yeah, same. Like, same.
Amazing. I didn't even think about the things that you've just said because that's not the movie that I received, but it was just the sheer power of the filmmaking. And the soundtrack, by the way, Ludwig Göransson, I'm really, really pleased that he is there because it's not just the song, Rashmi. There's, you know, there's a lovely rendition of, you know, When You Go, Lassie. But it's the blue. I don't like blues.
I think the song is nominated. I lied to you.
I lied to you. Which is the original song.
I don't like blues. Like I've tried. Like, I mean, it's not a genre of music, but this music has this, the soundtrack has this wonderful bluesy soundtrack that is just surprising and, in and of itself, like I can be taken back to how I felt in the movie by listening to the soundtrack. I listened to it like 5 times in a row on an overnight flight. And it really is like, it's up there with like the best of Zimmer and, you know, John Williams and Jerry Goldsmith.
Yeah.
It's an exceptionally well-crafted score.
Yeah.
Not just the soundtrack and the songs, the score.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason, and Yazdi corrected me, it's not just 13 Oscars, it's 16. It's got 16 nominations. My only fear is that because it's nominated in every single category,
people will just pick something else. This is celebrated enough.
Yeah.
And the side characters.
Yes.
Wunmi Musabu, who's in it, Hailee Steinfeld, who is in it, Delroy Lindo, who is in it, who thankfully got an Oscar.
Jack O'Connell
is in it.
And let's not talk for
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, twice.
And there are two Michael B. Jordans through a good part of the movie, and you never have a doubt.
And they're fighting with each other.
They're fighting with each other. They look similar. It's not like one has a long beard and the other one is clean shaven. They look similar too, and you never have a doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, Oaken stat.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. So number three, two. Joe number three.
Again, I don't know that it'll piss you off as much as the other one, but. Predator Badlands.
Yeah. It's my number 15.
Oh,
I love that movie.
Predator Badlands.
So love good. That movie.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Little movie.
Yeah.
By the director Dan Trachtenberg, who I've been championing for various reasons. Go back, listen to our podcast. I won't repeat all of that stuff. But again, as a thrill ride of a movie that needs to be seen on a big screen, it is silly. We have a talking, like, lizard space monster thing. None of Predator Badlands should work at all. We have Elle Fanning in this weird kind of
she is great.
Broken droid thing that she is. I mean, you know, we have this ridiculous cliche alien universe, Wayland Corporation sci-fi plot, which we've all seen a million times before. We have a redemption story, a revenge story. Like, none of this should work as a movie. None of this. This is stuff we've seen before. We've seen them, but as a package and a movie and a piece of entertainment, and there's a slice of, like, what great filmmaking and great pacing can do. Predator Badlands excelled on every level. It was so much fun. It was invention. It was set piece after set piece after set piece. I started not really caring about the story as much as I did care for the protagonist, who on the face of it is this evil, like, monster that kills things for sport. Like, so much fun. I loved Predator.
I really liked it too. And I wasn't even a fan of the... I didn't know much about the world, but it's nothing to do with that.
This is like its own take on that same universe.
You know, Elle Fanning has been doing great work for so long, and she was always considered a minor player, but I'm very happy she's nominated this year for Sentimental Value, but truth be told, she's great in it. I mean, maybe not as good as the other actors, but the one she should have been nominated for is Predator Badlands. She's so good in Predator.
She's so good in this movie, in a cheesy, not even cheesy, in a kind of a B movie kind of thing.
She just elevates the whole movie. It's so good. Everybody should watch. If you like good action, adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the
good
one.
Choice.
To, that's the one too. Good choice.
Okay.
Good choice.
Big number one on your list, Yazdi.
You skipped Sinners. Number two.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, number two. Okay, sorry, number two.
So my number two is a movie which I'm guaranteed is not on anybody's list, but it's a movie that I saw at the Tribeca Film Festival last year.
Okay.
And I haven't
been
able to forget
it.
You've
been talking about it since.
I've been championing it.
And I've been championing. It's the movie Twinless, which has two Dylan O'Briens, who we saw recently in Send Help. And that movie is a marvel of script writing. It keeps pulling the rug from under your feet. It's a marvel of structure. It doesn't shy away from getting into very dark places. It's also funny. It's pretty saucy, I would say. I just can't forget that movie because it's so well structured. Like, I did not see what happens. I did not see it coming. It plays with these double role so well. I really like it.
It's good. I liked it, Yazdi, but I think the fact that you saw it at Tribeca kind of elevates it for you. I liked it a lot, but I think there was kind of, I don't know if it's a meanness.
Oh, there is a cruelness.
Kind of like a cruelness. It didn't
Which is bothersome.
Sit.
It burns. It burns in your stomach.
It felt like a reflux.
It feels like reflux.
You
feel physically nauseous about that.
I think that's what didn't make it great for me is that feeling of meanness and cruelty doesn't ever go away. Then
I fully agree with you. Yeah. I get it. For me, I love the idea. Yeah, I took it as if a movie can make me feel that, it's doing something right. Right.
Yeah.
Usually, if somebody does something mean, I'm like, they did something mean. But to make you physically, like, I had a very physical, visceral reaction to that meanness. Anyway, so that's my number two.
Okay, my number two, which we talked about, is it was just an accident.
Oh, you didn't say that, really?
Yeah, it was my number two.
Okay,
awesome.
Great film.
We already talked about my number two, which is, again, I think I'm surprised it is as high as it is, but Sentimental Value.
Yeah. Oh, great film. My number five. Okay, number one, we talked about
Sinners.
Begonia.
And Sinners.
And can I give? I've got some. I've got three
mentions
that we haven't mentioned. The Ugly Stepsister, which I tried to champion and champion and champion. It finally got a nod for Best Makeup in the Oscars. Mm-hmm. It is a great, naughty, delicious, dark, interesting, verisimilitude type story. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so good. From Cinderella, right?
It's really playing with the whole Cinderella
story. It's just
story.
Playing with that
Very
whole story,
cleverly.
But it's so clever. The other one I loved this year was K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yep.
Joe, I'm surprised you didn't bring that one up.
I would have. I think it's a lot further down my list than I'm expecting.
Yeah,
it's
my number 12. And then my number 16 was Blue Moon, which Ethan Hawke did get recognition for
Best Actor,
which I think he's very deserving of. But I think he got one Best Screenplay. Yeah.
Screenplay.
But I feel like it lost pizzazz, like it lost fizz.
I loved it, but I think a lot of people complain, oh, it's just like a play, it just
it
happens.
Was. It is
so
a play.
Of that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the play.
Yeah.
The two I want to champion, which is not over here, which we didn't speak about, one of them is the movie Companion, which you can stream
yes,
right
it's
now.
Very good, very,
it's
very good.
So good.
Very
it's,
good.
It's not what you think it is at all.
Yep.
And then the other one, which I went into this movie kicking and screaming because, like, I do not want to watch another iteration of a superhero movie. I'm sick of it. But which consistently and splendidly won me over was Fantastic Four. I really like that movie.
So
it's
we
so
watched
good
that one.
With Pedro
it was
Pascal.
Good. Yeah, it was
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
it was good.
Like my
that.
Favorite thing about that movie was its kind of mid-century retro
futurism. The production.
I really enjoyed the production design of that. I know why you like it, because there's a charm to it. And again, Pedro Pascal, and who's the female lead?
Vanessa Kirby.
Yeah,
she was excellent in it. So I liked it. I think it lost a point or two for not being in the cinema for me.
Yeah.
And One of Those Days is the movie which is on Netflix with Kiki Palmer and Cezanne.
Oh, yeah, that was a great. That's cute.
That's a really
that's
fun
very,
film.
That's
well.
A great Friday night.
Yeah.
beautiful little funny. It's funny, funny, funny.
Yeah,
funny, funny things. With a capital F. It's really funny.
Like, there's one clip where they go to get their license made that keeps showing up on Instagram, and every time I watch it, I just double over with laughter.
Yeah, they're very, so their good. Chemistry so their good. Chemistry so very, good. Very good.
Yeah.
So 6 out of 10 of mine were foreign movies this year.
Can I champion a couple of others before we kind of wrap up? I mean, gosh, there's so many I really want to champion, but I'm gonna talk about Tron Eras, which I think was
great action.
Like Predator Badlands was an extraordinarily well-paced action flick. And again, I think there's going to be a lot of people who don't like the Jared Leto-ness, Jared Leto, performance of it, and but the messianic. I think, as you mentioned during our review, but I really enjoyed Tron Eras.
Jesus complex.
A movie that has completely not gotten any attention from anyone at all is the Lynn Ramsey movie, Die My Love.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Oh, I know you hated it.
Which is, again, it's a polarizing movie.
Yeah. I didn't like that at all.
But I can't get some of the images from that film out of my mind at all. Jennifer Lawrence is, we know she can act, she acts here.
There's no
surprise that she's a good actor here, but the male lead in that was
Robert Pattinson,
who, again, over the years I've come to expect a lot from him, and he delivers here as well. So it's a dirty, gritty, you want to kind of wash your hands and like scrape the dirt from under your fingernails after you, obviously. It's like, and the look of it and the texture of it, but it was so oddly compelling. I couldn't take my eyes off it.
Well, it's about a person who is descending into madness.
Correct.
And the movie therefore becomes maddening. And so it becomes a test of your patience, which I think really turns off a lot of people. But I could put myself outside of it and.
It reminded me of Mother without the Mother has like that satirical wink beneath it all. This one did not have that. It was angry and bitter.
Yeah,
didn't you love Hedda?
I did, but I think I liked the production of it more than the story. I think the story confused me a little bit, so I think the production was fantastic.
Hedda.
But I didn't care for the story that much. Two others I really liked were Sorry Baby. That was really cute. And it started making an appearance.
By the way, Naomi Ackie was in that too.
Yeah, and it started making an appearance. Like, I thought it was gaining momentum.
It was gaining momentum.
None of us mentioned If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. But again, I don't think the movie was great.
But Rose Byrne.
But we'll talk about Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
None of us mentioned Hamnet.
Yeah.
Which I admire, I didn't like.
Same.
But I admire.
And then the other one that's actually getting a release this year, which I really liked from last year, was My Neighbor Adolf, which is coming soon.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's a great little... Again, a foreign language movie about a man who moves, set in Argentina, and he thinks that Adolf Hitler has moved in next to him.
Oh, wow.
So it's called My Neighbor Adolf. It's very, very good.
Can I do two more?
Yeah.
So I really liked, because I'm the resident lover of romantic comedies, I really liked Jane Austen, Wreck My Life.
Yeah, that was good.
That was very cute.
It was very cute.
I really liked that movie.
I like that too.
And then the other one, which which is not on anybody's list, is Highest to Lowest. That's not
Spike Lee's. I liked that a lot. It was.
It's not the best movie, but I like how well it's been constructed.
What was that one?
The Denzel Washington.
With Denzel Washington
Spike Lee.
And Spike Lee. Yeah. Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, it's top 20 for me. I really had a good time with that
one. I'm just looking through my Letterboxd list.
Yeah.
The Long Walk. We forgot The Long Walk.
Well, we didn't talk about The Long Walk. We didn't talk about The Housemaid. We didn't talk about...
The Housemaid is so good.
Yeah, that was good. But these are good movies. These aren't
not
like...
Great
they're
movies.
Not great. They're not ones that you were like in your top... Like your top.
We didn't talk... Yeah, so anyhow, we didn't... Yeah, there's a lot. So let's segue over to a quick rundown of our thoughts on how the Academy did this year. And, I'll start off right off the bat by saying when the list came out, I was like, they did okay here. Because normally it involves a lot of teeth gnashing, swearing.
Yeah.
Rashmi and I wandering around the house saying, I can't believe they put that there.
Yeah.
I didn't respond that way at all this year. I was like very aligned. I think I may have mentioned on another podcast, but the process that you went through as part of San Diego Film Critics Society, I think, ended up with a list that I thought you know, I could stand alongside that, yeah. and get behind that. And I feel like a lot of that has been echoed in the big awards. So let's kind of.
I mean, again, look. So best picture.
Top quickly, yeah. Are we going to just run through the best?
Yeah, we'll just do the top five, top whatever the top six of cats. Best picture: Begonia, F1, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams. I don't know what Train Dreams is doing here. I don't know. Again, it started getting a lot of momentum. It didn't appear in any of our lists.
It's a vibe, as the young people say it. I still don't understand what that movie's about. It's just like an immersion into that that time. But yeah, I would drop Train Dreams.
And same with Hamnet. Again, I think Jesse Buckley is amazing, but the film as a whole didn't hold for me. So I would have maybe taken out Hamnet and Train Dreams and put in maybe some of those other foreign language movies.
Yeah, I think you've kind of said it all for me there too. I mean, Hamnet, I liked. I admire. I can see why it's there. But if not for Jesse Buckley's acting, it wouldn't have registered for me.
Agree.
And then the one we haven't talked about is Frankenstein. I have nothing against it. It's just not best film for me. I mean,
I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I remember saying at the time, the only thing I really admired about it was Elodie's performance. I mean, it's a good Guillermo del Toro, but...
And he got nominated.
And he did. Yeah. I was pleased to see that.
Well, let's just say seven of the top 10 appeared in our top 10. Good list.
Well done.
Okay. So best director, Paul Thomas Anderson. So I'll just read the names. One Battle After Another, Sinners, Marty Supreme, Sentimental Value, and Hamnet. Again, Hamnet is the outlier here for me. I mean, even though I don't think Marty Supreme is the best movie, it's got the hell directed out of it. So yeah. I know why Josh Safdie is in this list.
Yeah. I mean, because there are 10 movies in the best film category, but only 5 in directing, it's generally understood that the 5 which get nominated for directing are the top 5 amongst the 10 which got best film. So yeah, I don't have a problem with that, with what they came up with, it's fine.
We haven't spoken about what we think will win, and you know.
We'll do that. Maybe you want
to
do that
closer to the. Or do you want to do that?
I just thought we might throw in a kind of a bet here. I mean, I think, you know, best director here. I think the momentum is with Paul Thomas Anderson, even though I think Ryan Coogler's achievement in directing is substantially higher.
And I hope they do the thing where best picture and best director are split, right? Because that kind of gives you 2 shots on goal.
Correct.
I think you're right, Joe. I think it's his time. But then I hope Sinners does get best picture.
It will be a crime if it doesn't, given the amount of general recognition it's had in all categories.
Paul Thomas Anderson has been nominated like 16 times, but he's never won, so I think there's that narrative as well. For me, it's between I would give Ryan Coogler if it was me, but I think Anderson's gonna get it.
Again, I mean, you can't undersell the fact that Josh Safdie has done an amazing, dynamic, kinetic movie about ping pong.
Yeah.
Right? That within itself is a feat of genius. Yeah. I hope Chloe Zhao doesn't get it. I just don't think she deserves to be there.
She probably won't.
Okay, best actor.
By the way, she's the first woman to have 2 director nominations ever. She won for Nomadland, this is the second one. And only the 11th woman to get nominated for a director prize ever. Which speaks to, you know, how much parity there is. Yeah.
Okay, best actor, Timothy Chalamet, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ethan Hawke, Michael B. Jordan, and Wagner Moura.
I know you would drop Wagner Moura, but I
would totally drop Wagner Moura. And I'm sad, Joe, you and I were talking Russell Crowe for Nuremberg. I didn't love the movie Nuremberg, but I think Russell Crowe did a good job. And it's a travesty that Jesse Plemons is not in this category.
Yeah, that's the one I'm upset about, is Jesse Plemons.
I would replace Leo.
But would you put him in lead or supporting?
I would put him in lead.
Okay.
Either or.
I would put him in lead because then I'm sad that Aidan Delbis didn't get supporting.
The other one I'm surprised here, and maybe it's just because he did so well with The Whale, is Brendan Fraser for Rental Family. Mm-hmm. That was one of my favourite performances of the year, and I think it's interesting.
I don't think the movie had enough heft.
The movie didn't have enough momentum.
It certainly didn't have enough heft or momentum, but he made that movie.
Yeah.
Like his, yeah. What he does is so underrated that I think
Those eyes, his eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something very special about the way he played that role, and I'm kind of sad that that was not picked up on.
Yeah.
My general thing about all acting is that the Academy always seems to recognize the most acting versus the best acting.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So we see that a lot. So I'm glad Wagner Moura got nominated because it's not a very showy performance. But even then, I can see the point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, who do we think will win? Timothy's been winning all of the awards. I really do hope Michael B. Jordan gets it, though.
Michael B. Jordan deserves it.
Yeah.
But I think Chalamet is going to get it. Again, there's a perception as time has come. He was nominated last year for A Complete Unknown. So, yeah.
And Call Me By Your Name,
and
right?
Call Me By Your Name as well.
And Dune, and all those other...
Oh, was he nominated?
No, he wasn't nominated, but he was good in Dune. Yeah. Okay, Best Actress, Jessie Buckley, Rose Byrne, Kate Hudson, Renata Rintsev, and Emma Stone.
We haven't seen Song Sung Blue.
Yeah, but none of us have seen this.
But that came out of nowhere. She was not... Anyway.
I feel like this was a hit job.
It is available on streaming, right?
Yeah, we should probably watch it.
I think we probably have a copy
of it. You know, she's the daughter of Hollywood royalty. I don't want to take away from her without watching it, but there's like five other people I would rather put there.
I think Jessie Buckley is the one to beat in this category. Yeah. I'm sad that Rose Byrne won't get it because that was, even though the movie wasn't as great as her performance, that was a performance of a lifetime.
Yeah, I think it's actually between those two, neck and neck.
Yeah.
I think Jessie Buckley probably has the slight edge, but yeah.
And I loved Renata Rintsev, but it didn't feel at the time like it was an Oscar-worthy performance as we were watching the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked that she made it in the list. I'm happy for her, but I'm surprised.
She was in contention a couple of years ago for the worst person in the world.
I loved that movie.
But she didn't make it. So I'm glad again.
Yeah, me too.
She's now an Oscar nominee. Good for her.
And again, Emma Stone. I love her in this.
So good.
And much as I didn't love Die My Love, I'm shocked that Jennifer Lawrence didn't make this.
She should have been there instead of Kate Hudson.
Yeah. But we can't say that because we haven't seen the movie. Okay, Joe, anything else on that one?
No. Again, I mean, the sentimental value one is the one that is the surprise to me.
Yeah. But, well deserved.
That movie has a lot of love.
But the more I think about the movie, like, everyone is just so not perfect in it.
Yeah. Okay, Best Supporting Actor, Benicio Del Toro, Jacob Elordi, Delroy Lindo, Sean Penn, Stellan Skarsgård. Again, I'm sad that Aidan Delbis is not here from Begonia, and I would have replaced Benicio Del Toro with him.
Well, I would have replaced Sean Penn with him. I think Sean Penn...
Yes, Steve, that's...
It's so deep-fried, it's so over the top, that
so
he's in
good.
A different movie. But I'm in the minority there, I know.
No, well, yeah. not in this room. Okay, let's move on. Best Supporting Actress. Elle Fanning, Inga Ibsdotter, Lilias, Amy Madigan, Wumi Masaku, and Teyana Taylor. I'm shocked Teyana Taylor's here.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I'm the biggest defender of Teyana Taylor. I think she's splendid. She's like in three movies coming out in 2026. She was great in 1001.
Yeah.
But in this movie, she's there for 15 minutes at the start.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, I agree. Who would you put in the...
I would put anyone from any of those foreign movies in this category.
Yeah, I don't know what Elle Fanning is doing. Again, she did great work in...
Again, yeah.
But the role that she had in Sentimental Value, I thought was almost herself.
Yeah.
You know, that was the persona that she had as this famous Hollywood. So I've seen her do better work. And you just said it when we were talking about Predator Badlands. That was a much, much more difficult thing to get away with, to sell us on as the audience. And she nailed that.
I would pick Rebecca Ferguson in A House of Dynamite.
Yep.
Yes.
I would pick Devine Joy Randolph from Eternity.
Yes.
She was so good in that. I would pick Naomi Aki from Sorry Baby.
Yes.
Even Glenn Close in Wake Up Dead Man. Nina Haas from Hedda. So
yes,
many people.
Nina Haas
in
Hedda,
so good.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was excellent.
She was excellent.
Okay, last category, Best International Feature, and then we'll call it the end.
Wait, yeah, okay, yeah.
So we have The Secret Agent, It Was Just an Accident, Sentimental Value, Surratt, and The Voice of Hind Rajab. So for me, and Joe, I know you didn't, unfortunately, you couldn't watch any of these. The one here for me, which is a waste, is Surratt. I don't know why that's here, and I would have rather have put All That's Left of You, The Left-Handed Girl, or No Other Choice.
Yeah.
Any of those three.
I've watched Surratt. It needs to be watched in the theater. I watched it on a screen. I liked it when I watched it and I know what it's doing, but the more I think about it, the angrier I get, because it's so nakedly manipulating the audience in its last act, and it really bothers me.
Yeah, agree.
But you need to watch it. It's very, very...
It's very sparse.
Very powerful. It's very powerful.
It's very
effective.
Dialogue.
It's very sparse.
Yeah, you saw bits of it when I was watching it,
I think. Rashmi watched it. I was unfortunately having to work late that evening, so I was kind of in and out. I remember sitting in my office trying to do work and, like, wondering maybe she hit pause or something because no one said anything.
Yeah.
But it's
so,
not...
So, no, that was just an silly impression.
Or she's fallen asleep on the sofa because it's the fourth film she's watched today.
So Serrat also picked up a nomination for Best Score, which is fully deserved. It has this techno kind of score, which I understand.
It's okay.
But it's what it does in its last act, which is such a betrayal, I think, to your investment in these characters. It's a huge betrayal. But anyway, I would pick, the Tunisian one for sure.
Yes.
Everything You Leave Behind or.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a problem with sentimental value in this category just because it's already in the best picture category.
All that's left of you.
I feel like that's recognition enough.
Which one?
Sentimental value.
Sentimental value. I don't know why it's in best foreign and best picture.
Well, so is The Secret Agent. So is,
So I have a problem with all of those. Right.
Well, then you should have a problem with Sinners, because it's in all the other categories.
No. I know, but Parasite was in both categories. There are lots of movies which get into...
And I'm starting to have a problem with that, because I think it shuts out other films from recognition, because sentimental value is recognized by being in the best picture category. So I always feel like, then, let's open up that slot for something else. Because best international feature is there because... Foreign language films get drowned out from the Hollywood stuff, right? But so it gives the opportunity for someone else to shine. I'm not saying it's not the best foreign language picture. I'm just saying I feel like you need to have a rule that, like, stops a film effectively being nominated for the best picture twice.
But the only way you'll get around this, Joe, is if you come up with a rule that if you're a foreign film, you can only put your dibs in for one or the other categories, right? That's the only way you'll avoid
that. I don't want that.
But then the problem is different people are voting for different categories. So you will never ensure that...
I'm not saying I can fix it. I'm just saying. I would say, right, you made Best Picture, cross you out, put the next one in, because I think it blocks other foreign movies from being exposed.
I think they should... Here's what I would do. I would expand the number of movies in Best International Feature.
God,
like
they've got
best, like you have 10 in Best Picture up to 10, then I think you should
I think
of them.
Those five slots are so precious.
Correct. I know what you're
what
saying.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. They're so precious because you've got the rest of the world competing for those slots.
But,
and we've got 10 slots up here and you're already there.
I know, but like Rush, 4 out of her top 10 is international.
6
out of my top.
I know.
So my point is, if we say you cannot get into...
I'm not fixing it.
Right.
I'm not fixing it.
It's very hard to...
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like, it's because, again, I've got three...
Some of the other ones you mentioned here, but they're blocked by movies that are already recognised in Best Picture. So that's my soapbox.
Yeah. All right. And here endeth our...
Discussion.
Long...
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for listening. Oscars are coming up on March 15th.
Yes. So if you are Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, if you want a muggy...
Yeah.
Please call.
Yeah.
Anyone
who was mentioned.
Top 10.
Yes.
Get to call us.
Call us and...
mail@movieallofus.com and you get your free muggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just called a mug.
I think it's a mug, but
it's
a muggy.
That's true.
The prize is the muggy.
The muggy. You get a mug, yes, right.
Yeah. You get a mug, but yeah, it's a good mug.
Yeah. All
right.
Just pop over to our house and collect your prize.
Yeah.
Yes.
We would love that.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Yes, I was just going to say our next show should be what we're looking forward to in 2026 because there is a lot coming up.
I would love to do that show.
Let's do that.
The Odyssey.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I was waiting.
Okay.
On that note.
All right.
Okay.
Let's wrap up the podcast here. Again, thank you for listening. Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.